The best business comes from the best agents. And the best agents are the best qualified and the best trained and the ones that are in the game and serious. And that's the CIC.
Welcome to Speaking Insurance, a weekly podcast where we talk with successful insurance and risk management professionals to gain some insight into their success and talk about the topics that are relevant to you. This is Speaking Insurance. Today's guest is Richard Kurt, the president of Market Scout, a wholesale insurance exchange based in Dallas, Texas. Richard started the company 15 years ago, and they now have over 35,000 users and offices across the country. Today we'll talk with Richard about his background, how he got started, and how he got to where he is today. And we'll also talk about the Entrepreneurial Insurance Symposium, an event put on by Market Scout that brings hundreds of insurance professionals together every year. So Richard, to start off, let's talk about who Richard Kerr is. What does he do? What's his background? How did he even learn about insurance?
He's just an old guy from West Texas. Went to school down at UT Austin, got lucky, had a couple of good professors, learned a few things, came out. You know, got in the insurance business because it was a degree in the business school that made a lot of sense to me. And it was something unique and different. So ended up getting in the business there and started out coming out of school for $12,500, working for a company that was ultimately acquired by Tillinghast. And it was a consulting, actuarial, risk management type company. And it was very cerebral, a lot of fancy MBAs from fancy schools, and I hated it. It just, you know, it was very, we were doing things like rate making and promulgating experience modifiers and working on policy language, and I absolutely hated it. But it was probably the best foundation I could have because it gave me another 2 years of just really hardcore training with and underneath a lot of really smart guys. So then I left and became a retail agent. And, you know, anybody can be a retail agent. It's not that hard if you just can sell a little bit. So that's what I did. And, you know, went on and we built up a great retail practice. It was a boutique practice, mostly in the oil and gas business. And we sold that ultimately to a company called Fred S. James. And Fred S. James then was acquired by Sedgwick, bigger company out of the UK. And that all created some really great opportunities for me because I got to learn on somebody else's dime. So I learned some management skills and operations, and that was really good for me. And ultimately, Sedgwick was bought by Marsh. And when that happened, it was time for me to go try something new. I left there at Sedgwick. I was chairman of their national energy team and ended up being president of the Southwest operation. Left there to go join a company called Lambert Fenchurch, which was a UK publicly traded company. Offices all over the world. My job was to run North and South America. We did acquisitions, M&A, roll-up. We did reinsurance, TPAs, MGAs, retail brokers, a little bit of everything. And that was a nice run as well. It lasted 5 years. And the Brits have you sign 5-year contracts. And if you leave, the way it's structured is, they'll just put you in what they call gardening leave, which literally puts you on the sidelines. So if you sign one of those and you decide to do something different, 2 years later, you could be 3 years out of work. So that's a very tough decision to make, and you have to really think about it. So my 5-year contract was up in 2000. And it was time for me to make another 5-year commitment. And that's when the internet was popping. So I thought, before I do this, I've got this idea. And I flew up to New York City with 5 sheets of paper, literally, and a concept and an idea for Market Scout. And it's back when things were just going nuts. If you had a .com behind anything, you were golden. I walked into ING, which was the biggest investment bank I knew of. Didn't know a soul, went in, told the receptionist, I'm here, I'm an insurance guy, and I have a .com. Wait right there. And within 30 minutes, I had probably 15 Harvard MBA types in a room. We went through it all, spent the rest of the afternoon. They said, can you cancel your schedule for the next 2 weeks? We did, and we did a road show. At the end of 2 weeks, on 5 sheets of paper, some concepts, et cetera, they came back and said, okay, all you've got to do is accomplish 1,000 visits to your site and get 8 or 9 companies to post product. We did it, came back, finished the road show, did that, raised money at a $40 million valuation. Just astounding. And we didn't take that much money percentage-wise because we knew we were going to get to 5,000 visitors and then it was going to be worth $100 million and we're all going to get really rich in about 6 months. So about 2 months later, the bubble burst and the wheels fell off of everything. And so we just started grinding through and we never did believe, you know, a lot of the hocus pocus. So we were pretty well positioned and powered through and we are where we are today. That was 15 years ago. So that's Market Scout today. And it largely is today what it was intentionally intended to be, a platform to connect independent retail agents all over the country together where they can go in. And if they're looking for a specialty company for, let's say, railroads, you're in Iowa, you're a retail agent, you have an appointment with Hartford and Travelers, and you do great on grocery stores and barbershops and Main Street business. But when you get something unique like a railroad, it's tough to know what to do. And the big wholesale brokers aren't going to pay any attention to you because they don't know you. And they're too busy shining Aon's boots. So they don't have time for a small independent agent. So that retail agent in Iowa goes in, he clicks on Iowa on the Market Scout Exchange, and then he clicks on railroads, and eureka, he's connected to an MGA that does railroads. That MGA might be in Orlando, Florida, and they would have never made that connectivity were it not for the Market Scout Exchange. So we've been really blessed as well to have an affiliation with the National Alliance to help CICs on problems they have with market access, be it to our own MGAs or even third parties. One thing that we do is there's as many people on the Market Scout Exchange that are third-party providers as there are Market Scout. So we do a lot of work with that. And we also have some carriers who really believe in the CIC concept. They believe the fact that if you're a CIC, you're well-educated, you're well-rounded, and you're serious about your business. Because the insurance community, the underwriting community for a long time has really been constantly looking at ways to source business. How do we find the good book of business? How do we find the good railroads, the good oil and gas accounts, and the good business that'll give me an underwriting profit? And, you know, there's many, many ways to do it. Today, there's risk modeling. There's all types of situation where you look for those best of the best. And what we're finding by working with them is they're starting to really recognize it's not as much about the account or the risk as it is the agent. And therefore, if they're coming around, and what we're working with them on successfully is that the best business comes from the best agents. And the best agents are the best qualified and the best trained and the ones that are in the game and serious. And that's the CICs. If you're a certified insurance counselor, you're in the game and you're on point. This isn't for fun. You're not a part-time agent. You're not just kind of going along at a slow pace. To go through those 5 sessions of 2 or 3 day in-person classroom training followed by an immediate essay exam, which is really rigorous, and then the ongoing continuing education, networking, and that situation that you must do in order to keep your CIC, that really sets those guys apart. And the carriers are starting to realize that. And so they're underwriting these agents in that manner as much as they are the accounts. So the platform that we're working with the National Alliance on is CIC Select, which we have done previously. We did a session on CIC Select with AIG that was very, very profitable for them and very successful for the CICs as well. So we're re-engaging that again with AIG and other carriers to help them understand and appreciate the benefits of the business you get from really high quality agents, those being CICs.
So tell us about the Entrepreneurial Insurance Symposium that Market Scout puts on every year. How did that get started?
So it really got started because of, as I was describing to you earlier, we started Market Scout, as did many people, in the dot-com era. So we call that e-insurance. So there were some 300 e-insurance initiatives. Market Scout was one of them. There were many, many others. Today, there are three left. And there was almost about $3.7 billion raised and put in to the e-insurance space between 1999 and 2003. One of the companies, which will remain nameless, but their last valuation before they went under was at $2 billion. So that means they did a round of $300 million on a valuation of $2 billion. So somebody put $300 million in and got 15% of the company. And about a year later, it was gone. They never sold a policy. They never issued a policy. They never put together a real system of any kind, but it was all vapor dust. You know, it was all the excitement of what was taking place. And then there were others, you know, that were many, many companies raised $20 million, $50 million, $30 million to come out and try and disintermediate agents. We're going to go direct. We're going to sell farm and ranch directly to the farmers and ranchers, and we don't need an agent because we're going to go to farmandranchinsurance.com, and everybody's going to come here. So many of those plans, most of which obviously were misaligned. So about 2005, after all that carnage and everything that had gone wrong, we decided, God, really be great to get everybody together in a room and think about, from the e-insurance space, what went right, what went wrong, and why? And did we learn anything from this? So when we started that, you start looking around. I mean, everybody was in it. AIG, Zurich, Ace, Chubb, every retailer, everybody was heavily invested. So when we had that concept, it was pretty readily adopted because we all came together. And for the first 2 years, it was largely electronic orientated. Dot-coms and this and that, what's working. And of course, today everybody is a dot-com effectively. But we went through that. And so that was the genesis of it. And it was real. I'll never forget the first one. We had a graveyard of tombstones of everybody that was there. And it was just like, oh, I remember those guys. Yeah, I remember. Whatever happened to them? And we did the homework, and some of the former CEOs came. And they would get up and say, yeah, well, this is what we thought we were going to do, and this is where we are today. And they learned a lot. And even if we did it again today, it would be completely different because, you know, it's if you look at that, it's just like you can think back, remember pets.com. Not insurance-oriented, but a misaligned plan. So that's how it got started. And then once we went through that, it became clear that innovation and entrepreneurialism was a cornerstone to success in the business. So that's where we came into the Entrepreneurial Symposium and got the National Alliance involved ultimately. And that worked out really well for us also. So today, we've had, I believe, as of today, we've had almost 150 CEOs, presidents, and founders of companies come in, and they come share their stories. Some of them are telling you what their companies are doing, but nobody's doing an advertorial. It's been amazing. In almost 150 presentations, we've had one that was an advertorial. Everyone else is really there to help because the people that attend, normally it's around 350 folks, are all agency owners, executives, people with skin in the game, with an equity stake. And they come in here and they're looking for that next great idea, or they want to get better. They want to be better at what they're doing. So the speakers that come and the sponsors that support this are embracing that because that's just good for all of us. Upstart companies, new ideas, people with the courage to be creative. So these speakers that come in are giving their time and talent. I mean, they don't get paid. They come because they want to support the industry. And they're fantastic. They are really bright, really engaging, and they share their life stories. Again, this is what I did that was right. And this time I took a fork in the road and it was wrong. And let me tell you how you can learn from my mistakes. And it's just incredibly valuable to everybody. So that's how we got where we are. But it's been very engaging for everyone and particularly rewarding for me because I have made some incredible new friends by doing this and some really great experiences.
What do we have to look forward to in 2016?
So in 2016, it's going to be a really big year, I believe, because it'll be our 10-year anniversary. We're going to have to get somebody really sexy and famous to come in and speak. And it's going to be a high bar to follow because we've had fantastic speakers every year.
To learn more about the Entrepreneurial Insurance Symposium, which takes place every September in Dallas, Texas, visit einsurancesymposium.com. You can also learn more about Market Scout and the services they have to offer by visiting marketscout.com. Visit the National Alliance on LinkedIn to share your thoughts on today's podcast and suggest future topics. Thank you for listening to Speaking Insurance.